So thanks for that welcome. It's great to be here. And this is a special day for the message because it's actually Message Sunday, first time we've done this. So there's message speakers in 40 different churches. Well, I'm here. There's 39 other people doing the same thing. We're thrilled that so many churches want to invite us in. It's not like competition. We're all on the same team. And I know today's community church has learned something, and Dave Belfield has modeled it beautifully, that you give and you encourage and you bless and it bounces right back on you. Dave was just telling me some of the fantastic things he's doing in the Czech Republic at the moment. Just encouraging under the radar, just encouraging leaders and blessing people. And then he said something really interesting. He said, and lots of our year out people have come from the Czech Republic. Oh, what a surprise. You know, the guy on the guitar, he's from the Czech Republic. Because you give and you give and you give to other ministries and you bless other people. Guess what happens in the kingdom? It bounces right back at you. So, you know, I just love the fact that you not only invited me here, but encouraged me to share a little bit about the message. We are going to get into the Bible at the moment. In fact, somebody asked me what my favorite verse was a few months ago. I mean, how do you answer a question like that? The book's full of amazing verses, isn't it? We've heard a few already today. But at that point, I said, at the moment, I think my favorite verse is Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, God's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work in us. Now, that is a good verse, isn't it? Do we believe that this morning in Wigan? That our God is able to do immeasurably more, not a little bit more, immeasurably more than everything we could ask. I wonder what you could ask for your community and your family and your church and this neighborhood, this nation. Well, God can do not just a little bit more, immeasurably more than that, and even immeasurably more than all you imagine. You know, in my secret place, sometimes I imagine what God could do. God can do immeasurably more. He loves to do it. And he loves to do it according to the Bible, according to his power at work in us, according to his great power in frail, inconsistent people like me and you. How amazing is God? I wouldn't do it that way, but that's his joy. That's his delight. And it's the way he does it. So, and really, the last, whatever Dave said, 32 years since me and my brother, two young lads in our 20s, just decided to have a go and organize Manchester's biggest ever youth mission. Yeah, as if you could, you two jokers. But because God's just looking for a heart, he blessed it, and we did it. Well, God did it. We did a thing called Message 88 and then Message 89, and thousands of people started to come to Christ. And then I left the business, set up the charity, and initially, 27 years ago, as Dave told you, we were called The Message to Schools, because all we had was one full-time employee and a bunch of volunteers. You don't like this microphone. All right. How's that? Is that better? Okay. So I have to spend the whole service looking like Britney Spears and talking through this, aren't I, really? But it's okay. So 27 years ago, we formed a charity. I downscaled my lifestyle, and all we had then was a band going into schools, a band that I was in, even though I wasn't a rapper or a singer or a dancer. The heart was just to reach inner city kids, and I just honestly look back at all. How the heck did that even happen, that the work would grow the way it's done? And for the first 20 years, we were working pretty much exclusively in Greater Manchester of the charity. And then 7 years ago, we were inspired by this map, actually. You got that map there that off a government website called Neighbourhood Statistics. And we saw that, and this is you can log on to Neighbourhood Statistics. You can put your postcode in, if you like, and find out how good or bad your neighbourhood is in terms of all those indices, you know, income, employment, health, education, crime. And the dark red on that map are the most deprived communities in the UK. And we thought how awesome it would be if the Message Trust could start to use some of the things we've proved here in Greater Manchester and some of the change we've seen come on some of our most deprived neighbourhoods and the way we've seen churches start to step up and work together and pray. We haven't seen full-blown revival, but wow, what a different landscape. You know, when we first started the message, I remember going to see the Bishop of Manchester 32 years ago, a lovely old boy, and I said, Bishop, we've got a vision to organize Manchester's biggest ever youth mission and really love it if your churches get behind us. And you know what the bishop said? He said, young man, I love your passion and your enthusiasm, but I can't really help you. He said, because I oversee 364 churches and I can't think of a single lively youth work. Wow.
And you know, the church leaders in lots of parts of Manchester were called the Manchester Mafia because they just didn't get on. They just ploughed their own furrow. And this church was about the biggest church in Greater Manchester. There wasn't a church over a few hundred. And God's done so much. But we always want more, don't we? But we start to think, oh, maybe we could start to see in all these dark red areas, which are the most deprived communities. And so we launched message hubs all over the UK, and then we started to go international, and Dave's just shared a little bit about that. And I'm just amazed, and you know, I wish you could share my WhatsApp feed, because I have a feed that comes in, and every weekend I have all these amazing stories pouring in from around the world. And the Message Trust, we do three things, basically. We do what we call creative mission. We now have 10 teams. Fortunately for everybody, Andy Hawthorne stopped rapping about 18 years ago. And we realized it was a major block to revival. Me going, jumping in the house of God. You're like some demonized member of Sesame Street. But we have 10 really cool bands. And funny enough, I don't very often listen to Christian radio, but I was excited driving in. I put Christian radio on, and there's our bands blaring out on a Sunday morning on UCB radio. We've got 10 of these teams. And Dave said 110,000 last year, face-to-face kids in schools. The number next year is going to be at least double that. We got that next slide. We've got plans for 16 major missions all over the UK. The back end of 2020, we're coming here to Greater Manchester in a big way. And that 200,000 figure, I think that's conservative. I'm believing for at least 250,000 young people in schools to hear the gospel through the message. Isn't that cool? But we don't only put the lamp on a stand and say, yes, somebody's got to get out there, hasn't he? Sowing lots and lots of seed and believing for a harvest. And the second thing we do is what we call community transformation teams. We have buses, 6 high-tech youth buses that go out into deprived neighborhoods. We have workers in loads of prisons the length and breadth of the UK. And the thing we're perhaps best known for is what's called Eden teams. So we have teams that move into deprived neighborhoods, like anonymously, downwardly mobile, every 3 days pretty much. Somebody makes that huge life choice. Often it's whole families moving in to just live alongside broken people in the toughest places, in the dark red of the dark red, all over the UK. And my friend Sam Ward put this picture up on our wall at the Message. Didn't even ask me, but he just stuck it up. And it was the names of the first 600 and odd Eden workers, the real heroes of the Message. It's the biggest urban missions movement since the Salvation Army, and it's beautiful what's happening. It's proper Christianity, sacrificial, serving the poor, and it's amazing. And I wish I had half an hour to tell you all the promises that I'm carrying over Eden. And then the final bit of the jigsaw puzzle is what we call Christ-centered enterprise. As a result in working in all these deprived neighborhoods, 72 of them now, 72 Eden teams all over the UK, and working in loads of prisons, inevitably we're seeing people come to Christ, but people that society would say are unemployable because of their addiction and because of their brokenness and because of the lack of training and education. They are definitely not unemployable. If someone will come alongside these people and give them the support and the encouragement they need and the training, they are very employable. And so we've set up 9 businesses in Manchester. We've got businesses in South Africa and Vancouver. We're just opening up a coffee shop in Covent Garden. And these are unusual because they're pretty much staffed exclusively by ex-offenders who've come to Christ. And we meet young men and women at the gate of prison, and we give them a home and a support and lots of wraparound love. And if you go through a government program, within 2 years, the vast majority of people are reoffending. You know, when you come out of prison, I mean, prison is like a death loop of reoffending. It's broken. But if you go through a Message Trust program, the chance of you reoffending is 2%. Our 12-month reoffending rate, statistics show that 28.6% of adults and 40.4% of juveniles, who are the people we're working with, and actually the 2-year stat is most people end up reoffending. And the chief constable told me that not only do people come out of prison reoffending, they come out of prison doing worse crimes than they were nicked for in the first place. I.e. prison is a training ground for crime. How broken is that? And it's costing society millions of pounds. But far worse, it's broken, it's messed up. But we are seeing a change in that through the Message, and it's a beautiful thing, and we want to see more. And that's why we're out on the road today, because we want to share the good news of Jesus. And I'm going to get in the Bible and do that in a moment. But also, we want to see more partnership. Everything we do is in partnership. And we're believing that today, across our 40 churches, we'll see 200 people. We're praying for 200 people to step up and regularly support the message. We have about 5,000 people now who regularly support us every month, on top of what they give into the local church. And if we could see 200 new people stand with us today, it would allow us, because we know roughly our regular gifts are about £25 a month. It doesn't have to be £25 a month. That's just what they average. And on average, they keep going for about 4 years. So if we could see that, just look at this slide here. Across, this could happen all across the Northwest today. We could see one of our amazing creative bands fully supported for 3 months to present the gospel with thousands of young people. We could employ 2 ex-offenders and put them through this transformational program in one of our businesses. If they're not ready for a business, we have an Oaks house, which is like a rehab house, 13-bedroom mans. We could put 2 people out of prison through that program, and you wouldn't believe the change that's coming. And we could fully launch a new Eden team. That could happen today. Are you excited about that? Because I know that. If people will step up. Yeah, I want to clap because I'm excited. Come on, Lord. We could see that happen. And if people would step up. And I just want to, before we get into the Bible, 2 things. First thing is, even if you're not able to financially support us today, would you please fill in a card like this? And we'd love to send you several times a year, beautiful magazine full of power-packed testimonies called Flow Magazine. And lots of our stories. Please fill that in and just hand it in at the back. If you are able to support us financially, any amount regularly, we want to give you our partner pack. And we're hopefully going to give 200 of these out today, at least, around churches all across the Northwest. And in this partner pack is resources to help you. We create all these resources, so we're like, why don't we give them to our partners? So everybody who signs up for a partner pack will get this. Get everybody who signs up as a regular partner. We'll get a couple of my books. You want to know what I look like with hair? Look on the back of this book. It's a remarkable sight, even for me. But I wrote this book about 20 years ago, and I think it's still relevant. It's called Hope Unleashed. It's about serving God through words and actions, looking at the way Jesus did ministry in Luke, because he poured his life out on the very broken, but he also proclaimed the gospel. So you'll get one of them. You'll get my latest book, just came out a few months ago, called Here I Am, which is looking at the life of the story of Isaiah, and particularly Isaiah 6, the amazing call that was on his life and the way he was used by God. You'll get this, which is Being the Message. I wrote a few of these chapters, and the rest of our leadership team wrote it. Is there anything we've done to go from a one-man band to one of the 1% of largest charities in the UK? Is there anything we've done that's had God's attention? And I think there is stuff about prayer and mission and not taking yourself too seriously and thinking like an entrepreneur and having faith for finances. So there's all chapters on that. And then my favorite book in here is this book, not written by me. It's written by our South Africa director. It's a beautiful hardback book, but it's called Grief and Grace, because 3 years ago, Tim Tucker, who heads up our work in South Africa, went on holiday with his 38-year-old beautiful wife with his 3 kids, and she had a brain aneurysm and she died, just suddenly, unexpectedly, and just a shock to the whole movement. I mean, I was praying overnight for this, that this wouldn't happen, and it happened. And how do you journey? But the book's called Grief and Grace, and it's powerful, powerful, grown-up Christianity. Everyone in this room at some point will experience grief. But in the midst of that, God's grace can be poured out and you can be strengthened. And that's a beautiful book. And then you'll get a CD from one of our bands, the kind of music I was bopping to on the way down the M61 today. The best thing you'll get is this, actually. This is a pen drive. We get all these amazing speakers coming to the message from all over the world, you know, like, we're so blessed to have people like Danielle Strickland and Tony Campolo and Brother Andrew and George Verver and Louis Palau, all these legends of the faith teaching about mission. So we put 100 of the best talks on a pen drive for you to enjoy, listen to, share, bootleg, produce CDs, sell, do whatever you want. Just get it out there, you know. We want this teaching. No, don't sell it, because it's all generosity. So, but do reproduce it and share it. And it's all there for anybody who can partner. Myself and Dave Moore will be at our stand at the back, and we'd love to have a chat with you as well at the end. And I hope, you know, enough people here today so that we can do some beautiful ministry. Okay. I bet you haven't got people knocking on your door saying, would you come in our school, please? Would you talk to Jesus about thousands of kids? Or people in prison say, would you deliver programs? Or people saying, would you bring the police, saying, would you bring your bus into our deprived community? Well, we have. So let's do this thing together. And last thing, actually, if any of that stuff, if you can't afford to do a regular, and you're like, I'd really love that pen drive, or I'd love that book about grief and grace to send to somebody, well, just email me and I'll send it you for free, all right? Can't be fairer than that. Now, it's interesting that the verse that Ben read out, it seemed so appropriate, Paul, you know, earlier in the service, Paul, like saying, you know, Paul, the greatest Christian who's ever lived, probably, certainly the most significant guy who wrote half the New Testament and birthed the modern missionary movement, and in some ways we're only here this morning because of the life of Paul. He said, there's so much more to come. He said, there's a next level. He said, I realize I've not fully attained maturity. The guy's desperate for more. Anybody desperate for more this morning? I'm desperate for more. And I believe this morning could be a day of more for so many people. Paul said when he wrote to another church in Corinth, he said, we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. There's a next level for every one of us. It's like when you give your life to Christ, in some ways it's done. It's thoroughly done. You give your life to Jesus, and I hope this morning that people in this church will give their life to Christ for the first time. Everything changes. You know, the Bible calls it being born again. That's not some tele-evangelist phrase. That's biblical, you know. You're born again. It's like everything's new. The old is gone. The new's come. You're a new person. You go to heaven. You've got a relationship with God. Your sins are forgiven. You're free. It's amazing. It's done. Not because you deserve it, but because God loves to rescue people. And he's doing it all over the world. So it's done. But there's another sense in which from that moment, you know, when your eternal destination's secure, from that moment, a process begins where we're meant to go from one level to the next. Paul, as he prays for us in Ephesians, before that beautiful verse, my favorite verse in the Bible, before he says, God's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, he prays this. I can just read the verses before from verse 14. It said, for this very reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then he goes on to say, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. It's like, as Paul prays for these Christians, and if he was here this morning in the flesh, you know, as he prayed for us, he'd be praying, I believe, for a kind of four-step process, that we would go from where we are today to the next level. He'd pray that firstly, as he says in verse 17, that we'd be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being. See, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit, you've not got heaven. It's the birthday gift of every Christian. Paul talks about it being a deposit that guarantees our inheritance. You know, once you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, and Jesus will give you the Holy Spirit and will forgive your sins if you ask and come to him and make him Lord of your life. He's so generous with that. But once you've got the Holy Spirit, you're sealed, a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. But every Christian isn't filled with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian isn't moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul's big prayer for a group of people who wants to go from this level to the next level is that we're strengthened with power through his Spirit. And it's really interesting that as I read my Bible, it's like even Jesus, you know, God come to earth and in the flesh, had to go from being filled with the Holy Spirit to moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in Luke chapter 4, it says that, you know, just before Jesus launched on this amazing ministry, he went into the desert for 40 days, scrapping with the devil and pressing into God and fasting. And he says he went into the desert in Luke chapter 4, filled with the Holy Spirit. A few verses later, it says he came out of the desert after that incredible encounter in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's amazing, but it tends to be for us. It's like we're filled so that we can have all our baggage sorted out. We're filled so that the Holy Spirit can move into every dark and dirty area of our life and make us the people we're meant to be. The power of the Holy Spirit tends to come as we move out and take it out into our workplaces and our schools and our communities. That's why I love the I Move thing. Let's just be a people moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. I love the fact that Jesus said in Luke 11, if you ask for a good thing, i.e. ask for the power of the Holy Spirit, because he specifically says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, as if I'm going to give you a bad thing. You know, it's like a father, if his son asks for a fish, he says, he's not going to give him a snake, a good father. If his son asks for an egg, he's not going to give him a scorpion. If a kid asks for something good off his dad, a good father's going to give him a blessing. And Jesus said it's the same with the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you every day before you put your foot on the carpet and leave your bed. I try and do this. Just fill me with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Help me to move in the power of your Holy Spirit. Help me to look to opportunities to pour out the life and love of Jesus, because I've learned that I leak and I need filling. And we need filling this morning, don't we? But we don't just need filling. We need to be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can. Interestingly, in Luke chapter 5, it then goes on to say there was such power going out of Jesus as he came out of this encounter that all the people were flocking to him and every kind of disease was healed. Wow, don't you want to see that power? I want to see that power, Jesus. A little bit later on, and you know, before he went, after he'd risen from the dead, Jesus gathered his disciples and he breathed on them. And he said, receive my spirit. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Wow. And that's not just for those disciples, it's for us lot 2,000 years later. He wants to breathe on us with his Holy Spirit so we can demonstrate his power. I mean, I've got my glory stories of healing and breakthrough, but I want it to be a regular occurrence. I don't want to be telling you what happened about 10 years ago, you know, where some girl who was suffering terribly with epileptic fits was healed. I got glory in that story. Or a few years ago when someone's healed of cancer or whatever it was. I want my glory stories today. Not so that people can say, oh, there's the man of power for the hour. But because Jesus can just do amazing things through ordinary people like me and you, and he wants to. I pray we'll be strengthened with power through his spirit in our inner being. The second thing Paul prays for those people is that they would be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 17. He uses an agricultural analogy and an architectural analogy. Basically, he says the foundations are really important and the roots are really important. In other words, what's going on underneath? If we're going to be next level Christians who move in the power of the Spirit, is more important than what's on top. Unless there's strong foundation, the building's going to crumble. It can look amazing and beautiful, but sure enough, unless there's work done under the ground, it's never going to stand tall, especially when the hurricanes come or the earthquake comes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wonder what your secret life is like. I wonder what the life is like under the ground when nobody's looking. Greatest blessing I believe you could get out of this morning is a fresh commitment to the Bible, to personal reading the Bible and praying. It'll change your life. Worship, you know, behind the scenes. What a blessing. Digging deep into Jesus. And so when the storm does come, you stay strong. You get me? Paul said you need to be rooted in Christ. And I wanted to talk about deep roots. And it's important to have deep roots in Christ, of course. But I also felt as I was preparing this message that God spoke to me about wide roots. Anybody been to California and seen those amazing redwood trees, the most magnificent trees in the world? Anybody else? Yes, yes, I can see those hands. Well, I went out there a couple of years ago. Spectacular, amazing trees. I mean, like hundreds of feet tall, thousands of years old. Just amazing. And How do they stand tall? Because there are hurricanes in that part of the world and there are earthquakes, but they stand for thousands of years, these trees, not just because their roots are deep. They stand tall because their roots are wide. They're interconnected with all these other amazing trees. And a redwood, American redwood tree, roots can go 200 feet either side, and they're all interconnected. It spoke to me about the family of Christ. It spoke to me about what we're meant to be, so that when the hurricane comes, when the earthquake comes, we're well interconnected with the family of God, and we can stay strong.
A few years ago, one of the most traumatic things that's ever happened to me was I was doing some ministry in Australia, and I flew back, and a mate of mine said, "Oh, my dad's got an involvement in a great hotel in Bangkok. Would you and Michelle like to stay? Just stay over." I thought, that sounds great. So we jumped off at Bangkok, and it was indeed an amazing hotel right on the Chao Phraya River. We got a little boat across to this restaurant on the other side, sat down. Everything in the world's fantastic. You know, it's like my wife's looking beautiful. It's dead warm, amazing Thai food that I love. Michelle said, "Oh, I'm just going to the ladies." And then there was all this commotion. And an American guy ran out and said, "Who's with the lady in the black dress?" And I said, "I think that'll be me." And I went out, and my wife was writhing around on the floor, and she'd smashed her face in, and there was blood starting to come out of her ear and out of her nose, and it was horrendous. And I got in a taxi, took her to this horrible Bangkok hospital because it was being refurbished, and it was just a mess, and all these people shouting in foreign language, and I don't know anybody, and I was so isolated, I was so scared, and it looked like my wife was dying, and it was completely horrendous. And then, you know, they did an operations on her face. She had all these metal plates put in her face, and she was out of her mind because she had bleeding on the brain. And we still don't know what was happening. And I'm there, so isolated, terrifying. And then all the messages started coming in from home. And then the church gathered and had a prayer meeting. And then the guy next door found out who runs this brilliant church called Christ Church. He said, "Please don't stay in that soulless hotel next to the hospital. Come and stay with me and my wife." And I was like, "Oh, okay then." And this vicar would sit up, and I'd stagger in, you know, night after night, knackered and like, oh. And he'd be sat up at midnight, and he'd have a glass of whiskey for me, just waiting for me. "Are you all right?" And I realized he'd been sat up, you know, don't even know this brother, but he'd just been sat waiting for me to come in. "Are you all right? How are you doing?" And then all these Christians started popping up from all over Bangkok. One guy called Ash Barker, he runs this mega ministry. He basically must have spent 20 or 30 hours a week with me the next couple of weeks. He was in intensive care, just loving on me and just being there for me. And how can I help? And he's telling his friends to visit Andy because this guy's in bad shape, my brother. And you know, it's like the body of Christ kicked in. And all the Facebook messages and all the love and all the support. And it just sort of, at a time for me, was like the nearest thing to a hurricane or earthquake. My interconnected nature, some of them with people I don't even know, but we're interconnected. There's a bond stronger than blood with every believer all over this planet, if we can get it right. Do you understand what I'm saying? What an amazing thing the Church of Jesus is. When you put your hand up, if you say, you're not saying, "I'm just committing myself to Jesus." You said, "I'm committing myself to all these people, and they're committing themselves to me, and we're the family of God." And it's an amazing thing when it works right. Do you get me? So rooted and grounded in love. The third thing he prays is that you'll have a knowledge of Christ's love. In fact, he says these beautiful words, "I pray that you'll have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how high and wide and long and deep is the love of Christ." Yes, I do want the Lord to show his power today. But you know the power I would love more than anything? Just a power to understand how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Jesus. If you understood how much Jesus loves you, if you understood just what he went through for you on the cross so that you could be forgiven, he took the punishment that you deserve. If you understood what it was like for God to leave heaven and come to earth on a rescue mission for you, how high and wide and deep and long, you'd never be able to live the way you do. And I wouldn't either. God, just give us wisdom and revelation so we can understand the deep things of God. You get me? And it's not for theologians, it's just for people who love Jesus. He'll reveal it to you by his Spirit as you get into his word. Give us knowledge that keeps us going to the very end. Just of how amazing Jesus is.
And then the fourth thing he prays is that you'd be filled up with all Christ's goodness, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. I didn't pray that to be tantalizing, as if I could be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. Yes, you can. Ordinary bloke or ordinary girl, ordinary teenager, whatever your past has been like, your future can be bright because you can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And my own puny attempts at righteousness, I'm never going to do that, but I can be filled with this good God. And if I get in this church into a place of repentance, turning away from the rubbish that holds me back and pressing into his presence, I can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And when I get to that place, it's like God's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to just an ordinary bloke like me or an ordinary girl like you or whatever. God's able to do immeasurably more. He doesn't do it so we can have a big ministry and go around Manchester shouting about it. He does it for his glory. Because what's the last thing Paul says in this chapter? He says, it's to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's about him getting the glory. But he's only going to get the true glory he deserves when some people get filled up and go to the next level. Some people get determined, I'm going to live a radical Jesus life, whatever that looks like. I'm not just going to turn up on a Sunday, but that's so important. I'm going to carry it out and move in the power of the Holy Spirit. In a moment, I want to invite you, as I say, I don't know who's here. Only the Lord knows really who's here. But I'm going to invite you if you wanted to give your life to Christ. But first of all, I just want us to do something. And because I read this, because just to remind us, it's not about the message. It's about the message of Jesus. It's about him. I read this thing called The Incomparable Christ that somebody had written. There's quite a few of these around the internet, but this one just excited me. And as I read these words about Jesus, I hope you'll get excited too. I hope you'll think he's worth everything. He's worth whatever it means shaking off and whatever it means for him. You see, it's for his glory throughout all generations forever. And we've only got one generation, this generation we live in. But there's a whole bunch of people all around us, isn't there, who need Jesus. We've got this one generation to make our mark. The Church of Jesus is going to march on through all generations. But we've got our generation. And in this generation, I want to give him glory. In this generation, I want to live a life that honors him. I really do, Lord. So let me read this. And as I read it, what I'd like to happen is a little bit of excitement in the room. Maybe we could start to clap and cheer and whistle and wail and jump up and down like nutters. Maybe we could get a little bit excited about our Jesus. Is that all right? More than 1900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He didn't travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived. That was during his exile in childhood. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous, and he had neither training nor formal education. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the waves as a pavement, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his service. He never wrote a book, and yet perhaps all the libraries in the world could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he's furnished the themes for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast as having as many students. He never practiced psychiatry, and yet he's healed more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. Once a week, multitudes gather, worshipping assemblies to pay respect to him. The names of the past, proud statesmen of Greece and Rome, have come and gone. The names of past scientists, philosophers, theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man multiplies more and more. Though time has spread 2,000 years between the people of his generation and the mockers at the crucifixion, he still lives. His enemies could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed by God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils as the one and only risen personal Christ, our Lord and Savior. Come on, let's stand up and give him praise. Stand up and give Jesus praise in this place, in Wigan this morning. You're Lord and you're King, and you deserve every bit of glory. And we worship you this morning, King Jesus. You see, Jesus said, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. He's building his church. More people are going to be saved today than any time since he rose from the dead. The church of Jesus is unstoppable. I was at this conference here a year ago called Launch, and there were two people speaking in one seminar, and I was like, ugh. There was a guy from Iran speaking, and he was speaking about the fastest growing church in the world, percentage-wise. Iran. You get your tongue cut out for preaching the gospel in Iran. Gross persecution, but it was like you can't stop the church of Jesus. And it's growing. It's growing in people's homes and multiplying, and all over the world, Farsi speakers are coming to Christ. And then the next guy was the guy from China. And about the time I was born, 59 years ago, you know, Mao Zedong kicked all the pastors out, locked up all the local missionaries, knocked down the churches, we'll wipe out this church of Jesus. 3 million people, they reckon, were in the church in China at that time, 3 million Christians. Now, soon it will be the largest church on earth numerically, around 150 million Christians. And as these guys are talking, I'm like, your church is just unstoppable, Jesus. You can't stop him. I just want to be on his side. I want to be doing what he's doing. I want to be filled with him. I want to move in his power. I want him to be glorified, because I want to go to the next level, don't you? Anybody want to go to the next level? Come on, Jesus, have your way. And I pray right now, just in this moment now, this holy moment as this service comes into land, I just pray you'll show us where we stand before you, God. Thank you, Jesus.